What's up, everybody? This is the WrestleHolics Podcast. I'm Drew.
DC Hendrix.
Today, I have a special guest, man. This is one of my family members, one of my brothers, man. First, I just want to introduce my cousin Kai to the podcast.
Let's go.
What's happening, y'all? It's your boy KG over here, living from the TPA, but, you know, we do this thing over from, you know, down in Florida, and I'm originally from Atlanta. So my God, I was so honored to be on the podcast. I always hear all the stuff about WrestleHolics, and I was like, man, y'all need a real WrestleHolic on there, man. Guy been doing this since 98. Know this shit. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I like to hear.
We got to bleep you out too now.
Yeah, it's all good.
Oh, I know I couldn't curse on here because I just be.
Yeah, I went a different road. I went a different road in podcasting with this. Right, I'm trying to calm down on my cursing.
Yeah, well, you know, for me, I y'all can just bleep me. I mean, I'll even censor myself. I have to. I don't give a poop. You know what I'm saying? Just stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah, we'll throw some stuff in there. But I mean, you said it yourself. You know, you said we need a real WrestleHolic. So what makes you a WrestleHolic, man?
Man, what makes me a real WrestleHolic, man? It's so funny. That's a loaded question. Well, I've been watching wrestling since 1998. Mm-hmm. Been many events. Drew can tell you whether it's been house shows. I've been to plenty of Raw, plenty of SmackDown. I've been to WrestleMania twice.
Nice.
But WrestleMania 20, if I'm correct, I think it was 27. Yeah, so funny. Okay. I went to WrestleManias 10 years apart. I went to WrestleMania 27 in Atlanta. And then I went to, WrestleMania 37 in Tampa when they first came back from the pandemic in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. And if I'm correct, I think that's the only one. I think those are the two pay-per-views I've been to. But this Saturday, since it's going to be in Tampa, I'm going to be at the Royal Rumble.
Nice.
So that'll be my first Royal Rumble. But I have been a wrestling fan, even when WCW was around, ECW. Yep. I was always more WWE.
Yep.
I didn't discriminate against any of the other promotions, whether it was New Japan, whether it was TNA, even AEW. I'm still more of a WWE fan, but I still support the other guys because at the end of the day, it's still professional wrestling. But anyway, makes me a WrestleHolic. I have t-shirts. I have wrestling belts. I still have a world heavyweight championship replica, like nice. Those little small ones you used to sell at Toys R Us. Yeah. I still have that world heavyweight championship, and that thing is signed by Big Show from a DSW house show that they did at Six Flags in Atlanta. And Rob Van Dam signed that title.
So they
both
go.
Signed at the same time there. And
you had to mention
Chris
that.
Benoit signed that title as well, yes, before he passed away. Literally, I had that title signed 2 months before he passed away when he came to Atlanta for SmackDown. And he took pictures with me and my brother Saiz. Really nice guy. He was really nice. Would never thought 2 months later that whole entire tragedy would happen.
Crazy.
But yeah, so like I said, I read the dirt sheets. I'm in a wrestling group chat. I was just at NXT last night for the live taping.
Oh, he said last night. Yeah. I think he said last week.
Bro. Yeah.
Oh no, last night. I was there.
Oh, bro. So this is a story I always tell people about Kai. Like ever since we was kids, he always impressed me with his knowledge of wrestling. So one of my favorite things he used to do was the entrance of every wrestler. So he'll do the announcing. This is before how it is now. Kai would tell you the wrestler name, the height, and the weight. Every time he used to do that, I'd be right there. I'm like, yo, how is that? How is he remembering all this?
I still actually do all that shit. You know, I watch wrestling. I'll still be like, you know, whatever. If it's Seth Rollins, like following contest is scheduled for one fall. Introducing first from Davenport, Iowa, making his way to ring, weighing in at 227 pounds, the world heavyweight champion, Seth. Freaking Rollins!
There we go. All right.
I'll say I don't do that PG shit. I would be like, oh, Seth fucking Rollins, but that's just me.
All right, I'm gonna have to remind you right now before we get in trouble. Quit cursing,
man. You can edit this out. Look, when you go to my podcast, whenever you go to my podcast, you ain't gotta worry about that cursing. All right, but you know what? I'll do my best.
We don't feel like editing all this.
You're making me feel like Shawn Michaels and Hunter when they get the DX DX speech. Yeah. And yeah, to tell him all these lists of what you cannot say and everything, but you can say damn, hell, and ass, but you cannot say shit, bitch, motherfucker, all that stuff.
Just to be real though, why can't he cuss? Because we're not.
Oh, this ain't for the radio, is it?
Nah, not yet.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I was confused. I'm like, we ain't.
I thought we had rules, but all right.
Yeah, not yet. We ain't even. Yeah, we good.
Oh, like, all right.
This ain't PG that's, yet.
I'm about to get a cut. See,
this is attitude. This attitude there.
It's the attitude
that's
episode.
All you had to say.
Oh, God, man.
He had a good entrance. That was a good entrance, though, man.
Oh, no, 100%.
It ain't no Samantha Irvin, but it was, it's up there.
It's hey, up no, there. Man. Ain't no, well, I mean, first of all, let me give a shout out to Ricochet.
Yes.
I mean, shout for him to move on to getting Samantha Irvin.
Yep.
Really great. Really great. And she's an amazing, amazing ring announcer. And she's really nice too.
Yes.
Really nice.
Yep.
I met her before.
Met her once.
But yeah. I wasn't gonna try to do nothing like that to Ricochet, the brother doing his thing. That's Beyonce, hey man, keep your thing. But I tell you right now, when Samantha Irvin, when she was like before she ended up getting Ricochet, even though she had a daughter,
mm-hmm.
I would have hollered at her.
You
know,
she's
like one of them like real cute, you know, maybe geeky wrestling girls
yeah.
back in the day. You'd be like, damn, she good now. She looked good to be able to like have on you like to be around and everything. Yep. Now it's like see,
I lost value a little bit. Got in the relationship.
I don't lose value.
No, definitely
no,
not her.
Women don't lose value like that. It's just it ain't show turn. So you know that's Ricochet's turn. So
that's right. That's right.
So man, this has been an interesting week. Not even a week. It's Wednesday today. Just wrestling world. We got the new TKO and WWE partnership. The Rock is on the board.
Yeah, big week. I mean, Netflix, WWE announcing that beginning in 2025, all WWE content will be on Netflix, including live programming. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because right now we still got cable TV, USA, Channel Fox. I mean, what are your thoughts on Netflix?
For the Netflix deal, it's for international that will handle all of the
program.
Other things for WWE. Right now, for the U.S., if I'm correct, I think for Latin America, like their Western part, is going to be basically Monday Night Raw will be on Netflix. And then from an international standpoint, then everything from NXT, SmackDown, their pay-per-views, all that stuff like that will then move to Netflix. For U.S., they can't move anything. From Peacock because the deal doesn't end until 2026. So basically, Netflix has some time until Peacock does that. And really, if you look at it going into that deal, that really gives Peacock a lot of time because yeah, think about it. Peacock, well, NBC Universal still has SmackDown on their programming. So basically, WWE still has that relationship and with Peacock. Now they have a long-standing relationship. Now it's going to be very interesting to see. At some point, will WWE and Peacock decide, hey, we'll go on, or NBC Universal, to separate? And that's because that's a very long-standing relationship they've had for years. Will they want to move everything to Netflix? And you got to think about that. They also have their deal with the CW, so the CW for NXT. So if they want to move everything, that's going to be really interesting if they want to move everything to streaming. I think that, one, I think it's going to be a big deal because – for the fact that Netflix is one adding live streaming sports, what sports entertainment, whatever the hell you want to call it, they're still putting that on their platform. And even though you already have like the NFL doing Thursday Night Football or even with the NBA and some in the NHL, some of those regional sports having some of their games move to Prime Video after this whole Diamond Sports Group bankruptcy thing. The thing about the Netflix deal is that it really gives them the opportunity to be a big player in space for the future because you're basically taking one of the biggest sports entertainment or sports properties in WWE and putting their flagship, well, their main flagship program in Raw, whether they want to name Raw the A show or SmackDown the A show because of what it is, doesn't matter. The point is your longstanding show is now on Netflix and it gives them leverage down the line to be able to go on and say, hey, we can now be a big player for NBA, NHL, whoever it wants to be. That doesn't mean they're going to be a wholly sports network, but what it could be able to do is make them a bigger player, because we've already heard rumors of like Prime, which is in terms of Amazon, trying to get on the NBA streaming rights, maybe getting exclusive streaming rights. You already hear, you know, you already got HBO or sorry, Max. And Warner Brothers Discovery already using their platform from a sports standpoint, even though they're going to have sports as a streaming standalone platform as well. So my point of it is, at the end of this long entire thing I've just given with all this information, is that I think it's humongous for the WWE. It allows them to show that we don't have to wholly rely on, I want to say, territorial TV. I guess that's really hard to say. Okay. Just basically relying on cable and television in that regard, to be able to make money. Because if you look at the deal, WWE is a 10-year, $5 billion deal. Mm-hmm. Really, Netflix has 5 years to really opt out of the deal if they want to, or to pick up the other 10 years. Mm-hmm. So then they also have another option to pick it up for another 10 years. So really, it could be a 20-year deal for WWE and Netflix. Excuse me. And I think that, again, this is probably be a big move, not just for WWE, but it can also show other sports leagues, you know, maybe excluding the MLS because they already have their deal with Apple. Mm. It could show other leagues, if the WWE deal goes right and Netflix shows that they could be able to host this platform in a in an amazing way and a great structure, then now Prime Video, the Warner Bros. Discovery with Max, any other streaming platform that wants to get in on those rights now have competition from a place that has over 240 subscribers, 240 million subscribers.
Boy. So, like, do you think this is where all sports are heading? Like, do you think, because, like, it's like you said, it's beginning. Like, you already got Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV. Like you said, Thursday Night Football on Prime. You even have, like you said, NBA is on Max now. You get to watch those games. Do you think this is the beginning, possibly, of all sports just becoming on streaming?
I won't say it'll be all streaming. However, because no matter what anybody wants to say, there's still going to be those people who live in middle of nowhere America that rely on, this is what it is. There's people who rely on regular cable television or even whether it's over the air television. So I can't say they're wholly go to it, because there still is a need for live television from your news and from other things that get broadcasted. Like, we have to still have those things, especially because sports is one of the biggest live forms of television. But what I do think is that it gives streaming the bigger opportunity to become a player in the television space and to tell, hey, you can drop cable and you could come over here and we'll have all your sports. But the issue about it that comes around with that is, how does television want to play with that in terms of the relationship? And the networks are always going to, you know, the networks are always going to need like ads and all those different things. Companies need to promote their products. And a lot of these streamers, unless you're going to pay for the higher tier, they're going to, if you want the free, usually lower price tiers, they're going to come with ads. But most of those places need all sorts of eyeballs. It can't just be streaming, because you can, even though it's on demand, most people are probably going to pay the premium not to have the ads. Right. And nobody wants to do that. You can't, you have to pay for cable, but you have to watch an ad. People need those things. Companies need that. So I don't, again, I don't think that's where the holy go, because shoot, you have fucking Turner, so it's Warner Bros. Discovery, paying a billions of dollar package for the NCAA, and also having CBS pay the billions, or even just the NFL itself having the $1 billion packages that they have when it comes to all four different networks, whether it's Prime, CBS, NBC, and Fox. So again, my point is, I don't think they're all going to go away, but I do think it just gives streaming a big edge in terms of being able to pay for those rights.
Okay. I'm about to say, really, with everything you said, you answered a lot of my questions during the, because I think my main thing was the USA deal, and I'm just like, yo, so if you get rid of that, what kind of, like you said, the people who are in nowhere land, it's like, you kind, they kind of really missing out. They depend on that, you could say, free episodes, you could say, in a way. So it's just like, man, you kick that out, what you, like, what do you have? Do you lose anything? I mean, with the Netflix, I mean, you obviously gain, but what do you lose with the free stuff, obviously?
Well, yeah, and you got to remember, not every place in America has access to Wi-Fi and internet. So it is still a hard thing. You know, you still have a lot of rural land where people have to set up those networks, and a lot of them don't have access to that. We all think that because we live in this technology world, everybody has access to, well, to the internet. That's not necessarily the case. Or even if they don't, even if they have access, it's not high demand. It's not high bits of speed and being able to transfer, whether it's through fiber or whether it's cable, internet, whatever the case may be. It's still not a lot of places that have that infrastructure. So people have to rely on cable, satellite, those things. Now, yes, those businesses have a harder time from a revenue standpoint, cord cutting. You hear all that stuff. But you don't get it twisted. There's a lot of people who still rely on it.
That's right. And, you know, speaking of relying on people to kind of, I wanted to bring this up to you because a lot of this, for some reason, people on Twitter that are complaining about this because they think the news of The Rock being involved now with TKO and WWE, they think this is the end of a possible Roman Rock match. What were your initial thoughts on The Rock being announced as on the board with TKO and WWE?
Well, first of all, to answer an earlier question when you all asked me about who I am and everything, The Rock is my all-time favorite wrestler. I used to imitate him. You still talk in third person because of him. I still actually kind of do, thanks to The Rock. But I think that, one, it's a big deal for The Rock because, I mean, one, The Rock gets to come home and actually be on the table. Not the head of the table, but he gets to be really at the – have a seat at the table when it comes to WWE.
The real table.
Or even TKO. Basically, I mean, then he gets full ownership of The Rock name, which a lot of people highlighted. And that's a real big thing for Dwayne. Now he can actually, like, if he wants to just go into movies, and now it won't be Dwayne Johnson. It could be The Rock again, like it was when he was first promoting his movies. But really, if you just look at it, this is a big thing that I think, one, do I think it'll end in a Roman versus Rock WrestleMania type match? It could. And I know The Rock has been alluding to these kind of things. We've been hearing this story for the longest. Mm-hmm. And you know, we all get the conflict, like with Cody and wanting to finish his story. Let this be Cody versus Roman 2 at WrestleMania. But you have to remember, the WWE is also a business and they want to be able to sell their 40th anniversary of WrestleMania. How could you sell it even bigger by having the Bloodline have one of their biggest matches, the guy who really was the head of the table and set the table for Roman and the rest of his cousins, and having the current head of the table go at each other to really see who is the true head of the table? If you really look at it, it's a big money match made in heaven, especially for a place like Philadelphia. And unfortunately, it's going to make someone like Cody, who I personally have a big, big fan of, love him to death, love what he does. People in my wrestling group chat call him Cody Luther King, he's civil rights leader, all that stuff. But the funny thing about it is, as big as Cody is, he still doesn't have a name like The Rock. It's just business.
Right.
And you can, and as much as I would love to see Cody finish that story, having The Rock and Roman face each other is money. It will make people want to come to WrestleMania. Not saying nobody wouldn't want to come to see Cody and Roman. Don't get me wrong, because their match at WrestleMania was fucking phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But Rock and Roman is a headliner. People put this on billboards. People put this on their buildings for the promotion for an event like that coming into town. The Rock is one of the biggest recognized names in all of entertainment. That's not just, you know, like from what he be saying. That's a literal fact, as we've seen. So I think that, one, again, it's a great move for The Rock being able to come and be a part of the WWE family, you know, actually at the table now from a business standpoint, having that power. And then, two, it does give him the opportunity to have that big money match with Roman if he wants to. He's going to need to get in shape, because we all saw on SmackDown a while back, he got a little wind to doing some of his moves. But you got to think about, everybody got to remember, The Rock, even though he works out, he's not in that's ring different. Shape. Yeah. He works, his workout from doing movies and all that stuff like that is an entirely different thing than you being in the ring in a 20x20 foot
hitting the ropes
ring and doing all that stuff. That's a very big, and then if you want to have the match to be like 25 minutes, Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say our recording saying is running out of time, but we're gonna keep on going. We're still good.
Yeah, it's still keep going. It says 10 minutes are still left.
Don't worry, y'all be able to, I will come back in. Y'all can edit me back in.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay, cool. Okay, so all right, bro. I know the next thing I wanted to get into was the Cody and CM Punk promo this past week.
What was your thoughts on it first?
I got a little bit of chills from it. I'm not going to lie.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I didn't think it was going to be that good. I thought one of them would probably like, I don't know, just wouldn't have that energy. Mainly, I thought Cody wasn't going to be able to defend himself in the conversation towards a person like CM Punk, but he held his own in that promo, and I loved it.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, I, you know, a lot of people were saying who won the promo. You know, some people will say the WWE Universe. We won. We all won.
Because
I don't think there was a clear winner, but I would say the comebacks. I ain't gonna lie. I might lean CM Punk a little bit on some of the comebacks.
See,
but
I liked it too much. You know, I've been hard on CM Punk. Pause. Yeah.
Pause.
So my thing with him is just like, oh, this was really entertainment where I didn't think about that CM Punk whatever or Cody Rhodes like he could have done. But I was like, oh no, that was great entertainment. Y'all really gave us a story with that. And now you got a question like, all right, when we gonna get this match now? Like, what's gonna be the storyline for this match? So Kai, I just want to say, like, what was your thoughts on it?
I was kind of like you. I was entertained by it both. I do feel like I wasn't trying to judge and be like, oh man, they, like so-and-so did better than the other. Mm-hmm. I do feel like Punk was better from a comeback standpoint, his rebuttals. I still think that even though Cody finished up well, I feel like Cody could have went a little harder at that way last point. I think it came harder at Punk, you know, just to end the promo a little better. But I gotta admit, Punk, he brought some heavy swings when it came to, you know, the American Dream part, the story about Cody. It was literally, and what I hate somehow some of these IWC folks can be when it comes to judging things. Mm-hmm. Some people didn't like the fact that they didn't bring up AEW. And see, this is the biggest thing I have with whether it's that tribalism or whatever it could be. And I'm just get to the point. I don't like when people try to act like in order to make things more real, you have to bring things outside of WWE and bring it here to make it feel like, oh, there's this realness to it. No. If AEW wants to do all this stuff and make it feel like, oh, I got to bring everything WWE that you did it over there and bring it over here and say it on AEW, that's on you. But WWE is big enough where they don't even have to say TNA. They don't have to say AEW. People already know. These wrestlers just have to bring up the past stories that they relate to. And for the fact that, one, Punk brought up a story none of us knew. Nobody knew the OVW story.
No.
And even for the fact that he brought up OVW, that should be a big enough in itself, because OVW is no longer WWE's developmental company. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole different territory at this point, if you still want to say that. But the point of it is, it was an amazing promo. I love the realness of it. I love how they brought that personal connection. You could already just feel that tension because of their relation of being with each other when they were in WWE in the past, and then having the AEW connection. Didn't have to even mention the AEW connection, but you already knew it was there. Then being able to go at each other and show each other, like, hey, I already did what you said that you were going to do. I took the ball when you dropped it and ran with it literally and made a business. And really, if you look at it, that was Cody's way of even acknowledging acknowledging AEW, because he literally said, I took what you left behind with a pipe bomb, and I literally picked it up. And basically, you look at that, that's him like, I gave you a job after those years. Mm-hmm. And for the fact that it was, like you said, Drew, it made me think, when are we going to possibly get this? And that's one of the things, and I know they've been going through their struggles right now, Sports Illustrated, because they had to let go all their staff, basically. So it's kind of like, who's writing that Sports Illustrated?
Right.
But SI had put out, if you all have been reading today, there's been the talks that now it'll be Cody versus Punk at Mania. Gunther will face Seth if he's healthy at WrestleMania for the title, which is interesting to think that, oh, well, Gunther might actually win the Rumble.
Right.
I don't think he should win the Rumble as much as I love Gunther, but we might get that match much sooner than later. So we'll see.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. You know, starting Raw when they announced that Seth Rollins was going to be starting Raw. Everyone, and you already knew of the injury because it already came out that he hurt his knee in the match with Jinder Mahal, hurt his leg.
As MCL.
MCL. Yep. And so we already knew that he was hurt. So we were coming in thinking, all right, well, if he's starting Raw, then he's vacating the title, right? Like, he comes out, he's all teary-eyed, he's crying. The mood, the vibe is just all down. And you're like, all right, well, all right, he's going to vacate the title. And I really like that they didn't do that. Like, I felt like I was one of the only people online that didn't like that, or that did like that he didn't vacate the title.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't like it.
You didn't like that he didn't vacate the title?
I didn't like it.
Why?
Because now it got me questioning a few things. Okay, is this injury real, first off? So the second thing is like, okay, so you're not going to be defending this title for, okay, well, we got WrestleMania about 3 months. So you're not going to be doing nothing either. So we don't have Roman defending anything. We don't have you defending anything. So are we really watching the product at this point? Or y'all messing with, like, it's something cringeworthy with taking off both belts. Now, we already been complaining about Roman, but now we're doing this with Seth. I'm like, all right, so what's the biggest prestige for these next 3 months? The Intercontinental title? Tag team? And you, like, what's going on with
that? And you know, the problem that I have about that too, Drew, is that if you're a wrestling fan, which WWE loves to try to poke holes and some of the things that make you forget things, does anybody ever remember the fact that as a world champion, you have to defend the title every 30 days?
Yep.
So
wow, I forgot.
Like you just like you just, you see what I'm saying? People keep forgetting those little stickler, those little, you know, I'm a stickler rules. You know what I'm saying? Remembering that, and the world champion has to defend the title every 30 days. Roman maybe is a special case because he's been the champion for so long. Even though he defends it, it's the fact that he still defends it within a certain amount of time, and he's not injured or any of those things, and they kind of give him that specialty. But when you're the world heavyweight champion, you're Rollins, even though Rollins has built himself into, in my opinion, Roman's status, because even though he's not like godlike, but he's become one of their franchise players. You can't just tell me for 3 months going to WrestleMania that we might not have a world championship defended, or possibly the world champion make it. Like you said, it makes us question the injury. But still, if he has a torn meniscus, if he has a torn MCL, I get they may not be as bad as ACL injuries.
Right.
But the issue is, are you for certain and really want to risk your world champion for him to just be out for a couple of months, even though he might be on television? Do you really want to risk him going to WrestleMania and having to defend that championship? And even if he might be 95%, that 5% could still fuck him up. I don't think so. And that's why it was, it's funny when some people on the internet are been talking about, like, it makes, in kayfabe, Damian Priest one of the most stupidest people to not cash his Money in the Bank briefcase on Rollins.
Right.
Actually, I'm so mad because I'm like, wait, why did I didn't think of that?
But it makes sense. But I was talking to myself about it this morning. The problem about it is, does WWE want Damian Priest to be their world champion going into WrestleMania time?
Right.
That's the issue. Do you really want him to be your money guy? Even though they've been building him very well, I think Damian is definitely built to be a world champion, but is he the guy for their WrestleMania season? No. Maybe after Mania, they could do that, but he's not their guy they want to promote to put on for WrestleMania for the world championship. It's just what it is.
And also, if he is the champion at WrestleMania, it's kind of looking at it like, okay, what's his storyline for the near future? You don't want to mess that up either. That's how I feel. Like, you've had him had this Money in the Bank for a very long time. It's been like the longest in some years. It's like, bro, now what's the value of that Money in the Bank now, like, of your character? At least
it's to the point now where everybody just thinks he's going to be a failed cash-in. That's what a lot of people say.
I'd rather have I'd rather have a failed cash-in than him cashing the Money in the Bank on another title. If it's not the world titles, I don't really care.
Like him just cashing in on the Intercontinental.
I feel like this has been a waste of a year if he do that.
Yeah.
Then that makes Money in the Bank look stupid, because the Money in the Bank briefcase is supposed to be a world championship opportunity whenever you want. Not a fucking Intercontinental, not a United States, not the 24/7 when it was around, not the AEW world title. It is for a WWE world championship.
Didn't Austin Theory do the United States belt. Yeah, he tried to cash it in on, I think it was Bobby Lashley or Seth Rollins.
It was Bobby. He tried, and it was so stupid because, but I think this was also during the time before the World Heavyweight Championship was established. Mm-hmm. So there was only one World Heavyweight title,
right?
Which Roman had both. You know what I'm saying? Which even though he has one belt for both of them, technically, if somebody wanted to, they should go and tell Roman, hey, I want to challenge you for the WWE Championship, not the Universal title. I want the WWE Championship. Or you could say, hey, I want the Universal Championship. But anyway, I guess that's a thing. WWE doesn't want to have three world championships on their hands, even though they kind of created that themselves.
Exactly.
But they want to say, because they combine the titles into one with the gold, basically that's them merging the championships. But the problem I have with that is, well, that means that title carries both now the lineage of the WWE and the Universal. So if anything goes on, that means forever someone has to be known as the WWE Universal, Undisputed Universal Champion. It's kind of interesting, but I don't know if Vince's title and Vince's father's title should really be linked forever to the Universal Championship. I don't know, but whatever. It's not my company. I don't make the $1 billion decisions.
Right.
Is that not my company, man? My problem.
But anyway, yes. He tried, but it didn't work.
So we getting ready, man. We only a couple of days away. I know you excited. A little jealous, not gonna lie. You know, it was a pay-per-view that we were making plans to go to.
Yep.
They fell through. Obviously, we're still here in Indiana in the snow.
And he will let me know, too.
I told, you know, Drew, you know you can always find a way to get down here. And we can always find a way. We have a place where you don't have to pay for a fucking hotel. You do know that. Dude, you just come down here, have a nice little trip down here. It's been 80 degrees down here the last couple of days. Literally, it's going to be 80 degrees on Saturday. Man. And we got Gasparilla, too. So you might as well come down here and talk to your cousin about a ticket. That's all you need to do, and you'll be all right. All you got to do is pay for the actual ticket.
I was like, can I put you on Clara?
Put you on what?
Can I put you on Clara? Make payments.
Klarna?
Klarna. Can I put you on there, man? Because I'm broke this week, man. I am broke.
He didn't say nothing about all that. He said, you find a way down here to make it happen.
Hey,
he didn't
man,
say
I'm broke. Hey, man, PayPal credit got some stuff. Hey, use PayPal credit to pay this motherfucker.
Hey, we ain't promoting them, man. Hold on. That's free advertising. We do it over here. We advertise everybody's business.
Let me bring that back, because, I mean, we're not sponsored by PayPal. You know, PayPal would be great, but PayPal, we are not sponsored by PayPal. So let me bring that back. You know, you can use PP credit, God, and you can be able to use that, Drew. Just want you to know.
I got you.
So wait, kind of off record. Was he the one that was at NXT when I was there?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Y'all both.
I've been wanting to ask you that to put this whole thing together. So he was sitting right across from me.
Yes.
That's annoying.
Literally. So I remember when Dedrick was on vacation and Kai, they both were, it was Tampa, right?
Yeah.
So y'all both were at NXT house show, and I think I got to my Snapchat late because I knew Kai was there, but then it didn't click in my mind you were at the same show.
So what?
And then I looked at Kai's, and then I just happened to look at your snap afterward, and it's probably an hour after the show's over with. I'm like,
yeah,
oh, these I dudes in the same. That. I was like, these dudes in the same that. Room. I could have told them, hey man, say what's up or something. Like, hey, y'all know Drew.
And it's so crazy because I was there earlier, and I got a chance to do like the Q&A session with some of the NXT superstars. And it was so funny. I went to Publix earlier that day, and I saw guys with NXT shirts on. I was like, the hell? I was like, oh, it clicked in my head. The house show was in Tampa because I didn't buy my ticket yet. And then they told me, it was like, yeah, if you pay like an extra $20, they got like a Q&A and pre-show and everything like that. I was like,
right.
So I got to meet Tiffany Stratton.
Yep.
Very cute, you know, in real life.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like her height, basically. So wild. But and Dragon Lee's almost Dragon my height. Lee. So I met them. Dragon Lee, who else I meet? Nelson Frazier.
Yep.
It was they were really cool. But yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was a good time.
I was mad at myself, man. I was like, dang, I could have had them linked up or something, man.
Next time.
You can make it to the Rumble. Just find a way.
Next time.
It ain't going to be this weekend. I'll get fired.
I got too many kids to make that happen. Oh. So I'll definitely be back, and next time I'll know ahead of time if you're there. So I'll hit you up and we'll link up. But we got the Royal Rumble coming up this Saturday. And plus, I wanted to ask you this too. Like, so you've been to more live events than we have. And so I wanted to kind of put this in contrast before we even talk about the Royal Rumble. Your favorite event that you've attended leading up to this Saturday. So that includes the WrestleManias, the house shows, all the, which one is most memorable for you?
You know, I probably am going to say WrestleMania 27 is probably the most memorable. And it's really hard because I would probably say my first WWE event was the first WWE event I went to was April 13th, 2003. Mm-hmm. And this is when the first match, you can go back on Peacock and go check it out. Chris Jericho and the Hurricane was the first match. Mm-hmm. And this is also the night that The Rock had the Rock concert too. And this is when Goldberg came and he chased The Rock out of the arena and his Barracuda broke down on television. I was there for that one. That was my first WWE event.
I was about to say WrestleMania 27. That was the year they broke the record, wasn't it? For the most attendance.
And that was also so crazy. Like that was the only WrestleMania they had in Atlanta and in the Georgia Dome. And you know, rest in peace to the Georgia Dome. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of great events in there. Mm-hmm. But WrestleMania 27, I would probably say is the best because that was my first WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And I got a chance to see The Rock again after all that time. You got to see Cena versus Miz, saw The Undertaker continue his streak and beat Hunter again. A whole bunch of, because it was just amazing just to be in that atmosphere, to go to WrestleMania and say you were there.
Don't die on the podcast.
that throat got dry, that Jack Daniels.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. So, let me get some water too.
Oh man, that's not like this. He's a wrestling.
Hey, I'm so glad we're recording this too. We ain't gonna post this, but we keeping that for the archives.
But sorry. Can we promote anything from Coca-Cola, Body Armor, or something like that?
Until they pay us.
Hey y'all, yeah. Can y'all get some sponsorships? Hey, we get some listeners. Hey, man, they'll definitely listen to my ass promote. Hey, I can do some great ass promotions, y'all. Anyway, it was just an amazing opportunity to be at WrestleMania. And it's so crazy when you're at a pay-per-view. Like, you all have been to live events. Mm-hmm. And you know, and you've even been to television, if I'm correct. You've been to Raw before.
Yep.
And it's so different when you don't have the commentators. You're so used to the TV production. Mm-hmm. Even, no matter how many times I go to the live event, it's just so interesting to not have the live voices talking. Mm-hmm. And then when you see them do the camera stuff and everything right at the announcers and they're talking, you're kind of like, what the fuck is going on? You can't see it on television.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or like during show you.
Or during the commercial breaks, the characters are like, the wrestlers are clearly out of character. And you can see them like, that was my favorite part.
That's one of the most annoying things, and I think as one of my wrestling people said in our chat, you have to remember, yeah, WWE always says they are a television production, what they bring in the middle of their television production.
Right.
But it'd be so weird because these motherfuckers come out and then they're like, you know, that they're going to the commercial break. So mm-hmm. on television, we're on commercial. But in the live arena, they're walking around in the arena, in the ring, just waiting. Maybe they're doing stuff to the crowd. Maybe they're maybe still staying in character. But I also think it's one of the dumbest fucking things where the wrestlers have to wait during a commercial break. They just wait in there, all that stuff like that. And then when, you know, they come back on television and then they start playing the music again and now they got to get back in the character.
I'm mad about that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, because because on the commercial breaks, I've always wondered, like, man, how long do y'all have that song on repeat? I swear to God, that's been one of my things over the years. This is my first time ever talking about this.
Yeah, they definitely stop it and play it again.
I'm over here like, man, you really got, like, I'd be mad if I had to walk around the ring hearing my song the whole time. Like,
that's
man.
Exactly how I be. I'd be like, why y'all got them stuck in the ring waiting for this commercial break to end? Yes, like the music's off. They're watching whatever the fans are looking at on the TitanTron, mm-hmm. whatever.
Right.
But it just be kind of like, why the fuck am I? I'd be over there like, y'all motherfuckers really got me out here.
Right.
Like, and then y'all said they start the music back. Oh, I want the whole song.
So what they do is before, like when they're getting ready to come back from commercial break, if there's like a segment or something like that, you know, they show it on television, but they'll show like the lighting in the arena, mm-hmm. and then they'll cue up the music at before the end of that segment or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be, to basically segment it back, like, okay, we're coming back, we're from commercial break, coming back when they were coming into the ring and everything like that. And it's like, really?
I feel like we're ruining Drew's fandom right now.
I mean, I would have figured it out sooner or later, but it's just like...
Another thing, Drew, before we get back to the Rumble.
You gotta come to a live event with me.
Yeah, you gotta check it out.
I know. Like a TV taping, and you'll see this shit, and you'll be like...
What the hell?
It even happens on paper, bro. At NXT, it was wild. It was wild, like, y'all really just like... And they're a little more interactive in NXT, but nonetheless.
Another thing I didn't like. So, you know how... Like, say a wrestler from another show, like, you know how sometimes they got NXT superstars that go to mm-hmm. Raw or SmackDown to watch yeah. the match? So that's another thing I got to see at Raw when I went to that, mm-hmm. was they, so like, a lot of people are probably thinking, all right, yeah, they sit in the crowd, that's cool, right? Mm-hmm. No, they literally walk right before that segment, walk right before that. Up.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, completely ruined that perception of them actually sitting in the crowd.
I believe that, because I'm like, man, y'all couldn't just been there chilling for like the last 20 minutes, because I know them fans been over. Hey,
I swear, man. Especially, you know me, and it was Lyra Valkyria mm-hmm. who was the one that came to the crowd, so you already know me. Lyra. No, but I definitely wanted to kind of recap, you know, some of the pay-per-views that you've been to, because you've been to a lot more than I have, so that's exciting. But you got another one to the list, Royal Rumble yeah. coming up. Well, I want to know. So we've made our predictions already. So yep. we'll make ours again, and then we'll get yours. Drew, who you got winning? You changing it?
I'm gonna stick with Cody, the American Nightmare.
Back to back. All right.
And I'm still kind of nervous about that pick, especially with this whole CM Punk stuff going on. Like, man, like, if he gets eliminated, where the story going? I mean, I'm interested. I'm still invested. It's just like, dang, y'all throwing a wrench at me again.
So. Good. You're not one of them fans then that are complaining online saying, oh, if Cody doesn't finish the story now.
No, because, I mean, Cody obviously got time left, but it's just, yeah, we want him to have the title now. So, but what about, I mean,
so if, you still if got the, Cody.
Well, even let me say this, even kind of bouncing off of that. If he does lose, okay, let's continue the story. This is still good storytelling. Let's see where to go. I'm not going to be mad. Agreed. Now, if it start being trash, I'm like, man, all right, this is boring. Get Cody off
but
of
I
here.
Feel like the story has to be, his story has always been the thing of win the world championship at right. WrestleMania, not just win the world championship. Yep. It's been to win the world championship at WrestleMania, because that's the place, one, his father could never win the world championship at. It'll be two, him winning Vince's championship for his family and winning it on his biggest production that he always had. Think about that. You know what I'm saying? So it makes perfect sense.
It's way harder. It's way harder than him just winning it at Elimination Chamber out in Australia. Like,
or just winning it at some fucking Backlash right? or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Every time I think about them type of people, I'm like, no, Cody can't win it there. Like, not a knock on them, but it's just like, no, I don't want to see you winning at Vengeance.
Back to back. So if Cody wins, who is it? Hogan, Stone Cold, and Shawn Michaels? Back to back?
No. And then you got to remember, back to back, yes. Yeah. I was thinking two times, but yes, back to back Royal Rumbles, yes.
So that's history, man. That's some company right there. All right, so Cody and who for the women?
I still got Bayley.
Still got Bayley? So I definitely got Bayley. I want to go CM Punk, but after watching Raw, I'm gonna still go CM Punk. I'm going CM Punk. I think he gets his first Royal Rumble.
I think I'm a little bit hype as a fan. I think it's like, come on, Cody, let's go, man. Let's do this. Let's go back to back, man. Let's see what happens. Let's go with this story.
So, Kai, who you got?
I think, well, first for the women, because the ladies first. I think I want Pam to win, or Bayley. her to win. But I really also think Bianca deserves to win the Rumble again. Mm. She's done an amazing job, and I think it would be great for her to be back at WrestleMania. And I would like for them to throw a swerve and have them have Rhea face Bianca at WrestleMania, because I just feel like they would create, one, there's the WWE 2K effect with the poster, and then it also gives their two biggest female stars the opportunity to headline WrestleMania together. Mm. I know everybody wants to, they want to put Charlotte as the girl and all that kind of stuff like that. No. And really, in my opinion, Charlotte's only the star because she's a Flair. No disrespect. She is a good wrestler. One of my friends wants to say she sucks because she botches and all that kind of stuff like that. She's still a great performer. Don't get it twisted.
I just want to stop doing
backflips. Don't like how they position her so much.
Right.
But she's a really great performer. But my point is, I would like to see either Bayley or Bianca win, and I really think Bayley's going to do it because it helps more with the it really helps more with her storyline with Damage Control. Mm-hmm. And for the men, I might have to take a swerve, and for some crazy reason,
right,
they may make The Rock be the winner.
Ooh.
They may, now that he's back. I mean, I don't know how much he's gotten in the ring shape,
right,
the last couple of months, but if you're trying to set up Roman versus Rock, there's no other way you can set up a match for the main event WrestleMania with Roman and Rock without him possibly winning the Royal Rumble. It doesn't make sense that the Royal Rumble winner gets treated, in my opinion, I've always hated this. It doesn't make sense that the Royal Rumble winner will be treated like an afterthought. Mm-hmm. If he wins the Royal Rumble, challenges for a title that's kind of secondary, or whatever the case may be, and then he's not the main event at WrestleMania, i.e. The Undertaker and Batista at mm-hmm. WrestleMania 23, mm-hmm. or any other time when the Royal Rumble winner won, but because it wasn't the big money match, they didn't make it the main event.
That's
no,
a good point.
You mm-hmm. should be in the last fucking match at WrestleMania if you win the Royal Rumble. That is your obligation. I don't want to say your obligation. That is what you were supposed to be getting, a championship opportunity in the main event at WrestleMania, not a championship match WrestleMania. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't make sense for them to go on and make whoever win the Rumble, like Gunther. Say Gunther wins.
Mm-hmm.
If Gunther wins, you're going to make him and Seth be the main event probably on night one, but it's not going to be the main event of WrestleMania, which is really night two. Mm-hmm. So why would you hold Gunther in his opportunity just to win the world championship, because he's going to be in the main event of night one, but the main event is what closes out the show. It's what closes out the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to do that is to win the Royal Rumble and challenge Roman, because all of a sudden, say this, Gunther wins, he closes out night one. Oh, but then The Rock gets to come in, and then all of a sudden, because they're the money match, it automatically is the main event at WrestleMania for night two. That's bullshit. I think that's fucked up. To no disrespect to The Rock, because again, I love him, and look, he has that star. Him and Roman have those stars, but I think it kind of reminds me, is reminiscent of Punk, of how he felt when Rock and Cena called their match a year in advance. After they busted their ass for a whole year, you get to bring your little star talented ass in here because you have the name, and now you get to take what someone worked their whole year off. Their whole year ass off to try to make it to the make it to the main event of WrestleMania to earn the opportunity, and you get to walk right in. You see what I'm saying?
They did kind of sneak that in on the rules in the like mid 2000s out of nowhere. It went from main event WrestleMania to out of nowhere championship match, and they made sure they emphasized that out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Because you got to remember, go back to when Benoit, even though WWE doesn't like to show all the stuff and everything with him, when Benoit won the Rumble, remember originally, like you said, it was a champion. No, the winner of the Rumble faces the champion at WrestleMania. And it was originally, it would say their champion, meaning their brand.
Mm-hmm.
But then they changed it to the champion, which meant, oh, well, that's how Benoit took advantage of the loophole and storyline to leave SmackDown and go to Raw and challenge the World Heavyweight Championship. So now you have to be, if you're WWE, that's why sometimes they try to make it like fans don't pay attention, because yes, the casual fan doesn't always pay attention to those things. It's those diehard like you, me, all these other guys that pay attention to those rules. And then when you hear it, you'd be like, it's kind of like at SummerSlam. It's kind of like when I went to SummerSlam last year for Detroit.
Wow.
So It was, and I remember telling Drew that, and I was like, Drew, you should come on up.
Stop telling people. Dang, they put me on the spot. You got him right here by me. I'm about to hear.
Hey, hey, hey! You should have brought your ass.
I knew right when I heard you say Detroit. I said, he about to bring this shit up.
You loafed on that. Loafed.
But just to give another rule. Remember when they did the tribal war rules match for the main event? Remember the rule said nobody can interfere. Mm-hmm. In this match, nobody. I was at the contract signing too in Orlando when they did it, and they said no one can interfere in this match from the family. Why the fuck is Solo and fucking Jimmy interfering in the match?
All of them.
Everybody.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just stupid. Yeah. It's like okay, WWE. We understand the casual fan may not always remember this, mm-hmm. but then the problem that you create is when people on the internet point these things out mm-hmm. from a storyline standpoint, and I don't care if it's Vince or Hunter or whoever the case may be. Whoever does the storylines and all that shit like that, really it's Hunter now, but it doesn't make any sense because what you do is now you create this conundrum for the fans that when they see stuff like that, after you said something on television and then all of a sudden something is executed and you're like, wait a minute, what the hell was this? And you're wondering why everybody will bring up certain things, but you're like, oh, who cares? Because someone bought the pay-per-view. They still watched it. People reacted about it and all that kind of stuff like that. So it's kind of like, no, blah, 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 whatever. It's Fugazi. It's bullshit. It's whatever. It's fairy dust, pixie, whatever. No, Matthew, what I'm thinking about from Wolf of Wall Street. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I'm about to say, Dad, you got anything else to add on to this?
I wanted to ask him one more. So obviously the Royal Rumble matches are the big excitement, but also, I mean, Roman's still defending the title. Is there any way we walk out of Royal Rumble? He's still keeping it.
No.
Right? All right.
He is walking out with that championship. He's been doing this shit for 3 fucking years. If Brock Lesnar's ass couldn't be able to do it at SummerSlam, and if Sami Zayn couldn't do it at, I thought Sami Zayn had a good chance.
I thought
them putting the strap on Zayn would have been fucking magical. Don't get me wrong. I understand from a business standpoint, you want the title to be Cody and Roman.
Yep.
But could you imagine if Sammy had won the championship and they somehow gave him that moment? That would be that would have been magical.
They was ready too.
That would have been like Eddie when he won the championship at No Way Out. Nobody expected it.
Yep.
Nobody expected Eddie to win. So when he won, it was like, oh my God, they actually did it. They put the strap on him. You know,
it was a better celebration at No Way Out than it was at WrestleMania.
Exactly. Yeah. And he won at WrestleMania and just retaining the title. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But it was a magical moment because nobody expected Eddie, the person went through all those demons, got fired, everything, to make that comeback and be able to win the championship. You know what I'm saying? So he got the moment. He got the moment at WrestleMania with him and Benoit, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it was a bigger moment than having at WrestleMania, and that's what's so crazy. But again, when you're WWE at the 40th anniversary for WrestleMania, you're going to put all the money matches that you can inside of a cold ass stadium in Philadelphia.
It's on the Eagles Field, correct?
It's in an outdoor stadium in the north during April.
Oh, I'm still.
And
thinking.
Y'all live up there, right? Y'all live in Indiana. Is it still cold during April?
Oh yeah, for sure,
definitely.
Okay, why in the blue fuck are you having a WrestleMania in an open air stadium in April? It doesn't make any sense.
When they
WWE.
Do that, I don't like cold weather pay per view because every time I think about cold weather and pay per view with them, I think about Triple H. And that year in New York when he had the with the little ice or whatever, when he got the third degree burns on him, I said, even watching that show, I knew something was wrong. I was like, I don't think that's supposed to stick on him like
right.
that. Bruh. I don't think that's part of the fact because if that's it's so, that's trash.
That's the issue I have. Like, I understand these things and I understand from a business aspect, you want to have these events in stadiums and places. And some of these stadiums, which I still think, even though, yes, from a money standpoint, whatever those cities thought of, I still think it's very stupid for you to have an open air stadium in places where damaging snow and weather conditions can hurt your stadiums. But nonetheless, I'm not the fucking constructors and I'm not the architects. But the point of it is, why WWE would you want to have your biggest show? I understand that, yes, they are big stadiums, these are big markets, but why would you want for the wrestlers for the fans from a comfortability, conditions, and weather standpoint want to have them in open air fucking stadiums in the north. That's like you having a fucking WrestleMania and fucking in Minnesota at Target Field. That's just stupid. They're going to freeze their asses off. It doesn't make any sense.
100% right.
You know what I'm saying?
And the odds are even bigger because it's two nights. It's not even just one. So you got double the chance. It could snow both nights.
Yeah, you get frostbite both nights.
Minnesota had enough fucking sense to build a fucking indoor stadium for the Vikings. Yeah. But New York market, the Philadelphia market, you guys just couldn't build a fucking dome place for your stadium because it just costs much more money? Oh, yeah, great. We'll just take the damaging fucking effects on our seats and everything else during the Buffalo Bills having to pay $20 an hour to motherfuckers to shovel out snow for a playoff game. It's stupid. So why in the fuck would you want to have a fucking WrestleMania in the open air stadium in April?
Hey, it sounded great to Vince while he was still here. Now they you just left with it.
I got Vince all over.
You can only do shit like that in the South. You right. cannot do that anywhere else. That's why I'm like, WrestleMania, shit, I get it. They want to give other places a chance, but they need to have, they got to be like the Super Bowl if they're not going to have, if they don't have domes. If you're going to have a place like WrestleMania, you have to have a domed stadium or be in a climate that can handle those things because you have no idea what can happen. Say WrestleMania occurs in April on those Saturday and Sunday nights. Oh, wait a minute. What if the forecast says, possible snow, because that could still happen during April. It's spring everywhere else, but it's still technically winter up there. I lived in New York. I know what it's like in that whole region. You are not going to pay me enough fucking money to have me come to WrestleMania two nights in a row if it's possibly going to be snow or that bitch is going to be 30-something degrees. Hell no.
No, I'm good. No, I'm pretty much good on that one. You keep it. I got Peacock.
I apologize if I've been taking up too much time. Aww. I know I run my mouth and stuff like that. I just got these things to say, bro. It's just things to just think about.
Yeah.
No, I definitely appreciate you even coming on here last minute, because I literally called him, like I told Dedrick, I think probably 2 hours prior. I was like, hey man, I know my cousin Kai, I think he is way more knowledgeable than any of us. I got confidence. Also, let's have him on. He's like, all right, bet. I forgot to call Kai like an hour later. Dedrick, I was still waiting on the answer, and Dedrick already gave me the answer. So I definitely appreciate you coming on here last minute. I just definitely know what you would have brought to this episode. Absolutely. And you definitely delivered, man. I definitely appreciate it, bro.
Look, man, look, I appreciate it, man. Look, this is stuff that I really love. You know, talking like I can talk about this shit for free, which I'm already doing. But yeah. I mean, you know, you guys, I would love to even talk about it if I'm paid. But no, I just think that one of the biggest things is when you worked, and I don't know if Drew told you, I worked in sports. I've worked in sports entertainment. I've been around these people. I've been to many events, all the stuff like that, the backstory, all that stuff. So being able to understand it from a business perspective, not just the fan, is the perspective I always love to give the fans or viewers, because we always think of it from a fan perspective. What will we do? What will we see? And all that stuff like that. But it's like, you got to think of it from the inside, you know, but behind the scenes and how they look at it and what comes along with, you know, production and promotion and all this other stuff like that. All that stuff. There's a reason why when you're applying for them kind of jobs, they don't give a fuck that you're a fan. Can you separate the fandom from
the rest of
the business? Exactly. And that was part of the reason why I had 8 years working for professional teams and being able to do this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, don't get me wrong, I was still a fan at the end of the day, but at the end of the day, you know, my favorite team was signing my paycheck. So I didn't give a fuck about my favorite team. Right. I was, you know, working for so-and-so, you know what I'm saying? So now I was glad to be able to have a great career. But my point, the reason why I bring that up is those part of the reason why I love being able to talk and be on things like this, because a lot of people don't get to see that other side, or have people who know what it's like on that side of the curtain to be able to get that perspective and hear it from a different fan who might be able to provide different structure, different stories, all those different, I know, viewpoints. So nonetheless, I appreciate Drew for inviting me on here. I always wanted to be on here. And like you guys said, you know, if you feel like I delivered, well then, hey, you know, bring me some more pizza, man. I'm ready to eat more. You know what I'm saying?
Let's do it, bro. So, man, definitely appreciate you coming on today, Kai, man. Just going to end this off with, hey, everybody remember to follow us on all social medias. Make sure to follow us on IG, follow us on TikTok, follow us on Facebook as well. Also want to give a shout out to our sponsor, T&D Motorsports, and then also MVP Bowling Lanes. Am I forgetting anything? Also, Kai, you want to plug in anything?
Yeah, man. Everybody be able to follow me on all my social media, which is ENDFAULT. That's End Fault, like the end of my faults. End Fault on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Go follow me. And also, if can I plug my podcast as well?
Go ahead, man.
And also follow my music podcast, The Most Definitely Music Show. I will be creating new episodes coming soon. We talk about all the different music topics, debate about the different music things that happen, what's the greatest of who, what album did you like, if you like Ice Spice's ass, if you like to be able to go, if you didn't like Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, which I was a big fan of, which and I don't give a fuck about what anybody else thinks. If you, whatever the case may be, that's what we talk about on MDM. So go check us out on Instagram, Most Definitely Music Show, and follow us on all your streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you may listen to.
I appreciate you. Dedrick, you got anything else?
That's it, man.
All right, good man. Definitely appreciate y'all listening, man. This is the WrestleHolics Podcast. I'm Drew.
DC Hendrix.
And we'll get back with y'all soon.